Thank you for tuning in to Matitis, a podcast from one disciple of Jesus to another. May God choose to use this to further his kingdom.
Hey, welcome back to Matitis. I know we've been working through the book of 1 Peter, and we're almost through chapter 1. It is taking a little longer than I anticipated. So I don't want to speed that up, but I thought I would do an intermission podcast, if you don't mind indulging me for a little bit. And this one is going to be a little more raw, less edited. So forgive me if there's super long pauses or restatements, stutters, things like that. Just something's on my heart. I'd like to share, and it's not going to be based out of a specific text, which is what I prefer to do. But like I said, this is going to be a little raw. So lately, there's been a lot of chatter on social media about a book that's published by Ginger Vuolo. Maiden name was Duggar. TV show, reality show about her and her family. She was one of like 19 kids. And her book is Becoming Free Indeed. And I haven't read it. This isn't intended to be a review of the book or any type of commentary other than what I am getting snippets from friends on social media. It appears that God is truly working in her heart, that she has the right spirit towards her negative experiences. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that she's getting screen time and interviews, and that the book is circulating. And I pray that God uses what she's written to open the eyes of many people who were in it. And the thing that I guess is heavy on me is I'm hearing a man's name that it's hard to hear and read. Bill Gothard, not to be confused with Bill Gaither. Bill Gaither wrote a lot of gospel music. Bill Gothard established this IBLP, or Institute in Basic Life Principles, and it grew into a homeschool curriculum, ATI, the Advanced Training Institute. And then there were other branch off ministries, quote unquote, Alert, the Air Land Emergency Resource Team, which I also went to. And I'm seeing people mention his name, talk about him. Some people have never heard about him. They don't know. This is the first time being exposed to the seven, you know, basic life principles, and they're flabbergasted, as they're justified in being, at some of the things that he was teaching. And there's comments about even Josh Duggar's sin, that he's been called in, and it's not a good thing, of course, to delight in. And they point to that as fruit of the poisonous tree, and there is truth to that too. The thing that I guess really gets me the most is it's easy to speak about the foolishness or how insanely or apparently unbiblical these things are. And as someone who was pretty much raised in it, the ATI curriculum was my daily homeschool textbook. It was based off of these booklets that you would go through every month, and they were called wisdom books. And while there was biblical truth woven in those things, and there's many things that are still good, not trying to justify the curriculum by any means, but just trying to say there is a silver lining in some of this. But it's easy to step back and forget that as we condemn the teachings and we even condemn Bill Gothard as a false teacher or a teacher of damaging doctrine, that's unbiblical doctrine. Don't forget that there are people who were and even still are involved in that. And that when you're on the inside, it's really hard to see that it's not biblical. And what added to this, what compounded this damage is I was also in a church that was of a denomination. Well, I've said it before. It was a independent fundamental Baptist church. And what was so dangerous is the teachings of the seven basic life principles was really no different than the common teaching and culture and preaching that I heard growing up. And this program was encouraged by my childhood church as well as others. And there were yearly events in Knoxville, Tennessee, that were ATI events. Everybody would go. We would swarm the Knoxville campus, and you know, we're all wearing white shirts and either navy pants, khaki pants, or navy skirts, khaki shirts. Right, they're easy to spot us. And we would go from campus building to campus building and have our training classes. And I think when you're in it. And there's so much stress on doing the right thing, but there's no emphasis, there's no exaltation of Jesus. He's mentioned. Don't get me wrong. It's not that they never talk about Jesus, but the emphasis is very Pharisaical. The mindset and the teaching is very much like the Pharisee that Jesus tells the parable about in Luke 18, where, yeah, he goes to the temple and yeah, he prays to Jehovah and he thanks God even that he is not like those other dirty, vile tax collectors, those sinners. He says right things. He lives morally, at least on the outside, and quite possibly even behind closed doors. He may be the same self-righteous, dependent Pharisee in his prayer closet and his devotional time than he is in the public prayer space. But just because he's a consistent legalist doesn't somehow justify him. See, his foundation is off. And I know many, many people, even who went and graduated from the Baptist Bible College that I graduated from, who are now either atheist, agnostic, or outright pagans. And the danger in legalism, while I'll say a primary danger, not the danger. I think there's a lot of dangers and maybe some I don't even realize yet. But a massive danger is that legalism provides people a watered down gospel. It uses all the same words, but it guts them of any meaning. It places the emphasis, the power on man. And I guess a little bit of a foreshadowing when we get into, Lord willing, the next podcast in 1 Peter as we close out chapter 1. He talks about, we just let out of, you've purified yourselves, but there's a because that we're about to get into in verse 23. And it's the, you've purified yourself because you've been born again. And see that root, that heart change, it's not talked about in that way. Instead, the heart change is preached and taught as a thing that happens as you change your pattern of behavior, right? As you break this behavior pattern, this is big with Gothard, right? Everything's a pattern. Everything's a pattern of behavior, and you are a pattern of generations, and these patterns must be broken. The cycle must be broken, and you interject these breaks, and then after a while, you just create a new pattern. It's all about how we can change ourselves. And the Word of God is used, Jesus is used, but Jesus and the Word of God are simply those things that I just said. They are used. They are tools in order to break a pattern, in order to be happy, or in order to be better, or in order to not hurt other people. Right, the scripture becomes nothing more than some Latin magic phrase that you just speak, you know, levioso, and it happens, they levitate. Right? Or maybe it's leviosa. I don't know. I'm not even a muggle at this point, so I don't know what the right phrase is, but that's how we're taught to use scripture, is just to quote it and it somehow magically does this thing that frees us from whatever temptation we are at the moment. And I've been there. I've been through those cycles, and I've said the words that they told me to say, and the temptation just doesn't go away. And so the cycle happens, and I think I'll break it next time. But, you know, again, every time you go through the cycle gets stronger. And this is, it's when it's all based on you, you're doomed. And you're put in this abyss of just grit your teeth and try harder, right? It's that attempt to living a, it's called the Christian life, but it's really nothing more than a moral life. It's the attempt to live a moral life without the power of the Spirit. And I will absolutely say, while the world and even larger Christendom, which many denominations, many sects, even some cults like to take the name Christian, biblically they are not. And so I won't call this Christian. It's morality. It leads people down a dark path. It leads people into depression. Fear is used to control people. There's fear that just deeply roots itself in the heart and mind to a point that at times you feel like you're going crazy. You feel hopeless. And when you try to talk to people, they just tell you to try harder. And a lot of people are damaged by this. So I'm grateful that she's written her book. And I'm even more grateful that she has the spirit and the attitude that she has. And I know, I guess part of the reason it hurts, even to see people speak out in a little bit of arrogance, not having experienced it, is I know my parents put me into that. My parents took me to those things. They taught me. We went through those wisdom books. We had nightly devotions as a family using character sketches, where animals were taken and creation was examined, and principles out of animal behavior that God has created in them, how we can learn from that. And again, there's biblical truth in that. We're even told, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So it's not that everything in this curriculum or in this movement was horrible. Again, there are things that can be learned. And that's also what makes it very dangerous, is because if there weren't golden nuggets, right, if there wasn't little tidbits of truth along the way, yeah, somebody is more likely to say, hold up a minute, right, this seems a little off. But when you get those those biblical truth that's mixed in with error, then yes, the person who's in it that's less discerning is more likely to swallow the error as well as the truth. But back to my parents, I know what they sacrificed to put me in that. And their heart was truly towards the Lord. They did what they thought was right. And I do not hold that against them. I'm grateful that God gave me parents who, even when I went astray, they prayed for me. Now, they've grown and they've learned, and I think even they would look back now and say, what we did was wrong. However, that's what happens in life, right? Life is, it's a journey that as we have a relationship with Jesus, we walk with Jesus and we learn. There are things that we engaged in or did or said early on in our relationship with Jesus that now we look back and we would say, I was so foolish. I was so full of myself. So let's remember as we're working through this topic as a church, as a body of Christ, let's have compassion on those who are faltering. Let's have compassion on those who are deceived. Let's see that their heart towards God, and let's help turn them and show them the freedom, show them the truth and the grace that is Jesus. Show them Jesus. And that doesn't mean that they have to relegate their standards. There are many in that movement that are teetotalers. They don't touch a drop of alcohol. Great. There are many who will come out of this movement and they still may not really be able to listen to more modern styles of music. And that's okay too. Understanding that there's a sensitivity in their conscience and some of that the Holy Spirit may not remove as fast as he does for others, or he may not remove at all, but let's help them and let's encourage them, come alongside them. Just as, again, we talked about in the previous podcast, in love, always constantly showing love to our brothers and sisters. This is a prime opportune time to not beat them or mock them. And I know that we wouldn't intentionally do that, but we post things on social media and forget that people from all different perspectives and places in their relationship with Jesus are reading this. So I encourage you, one, I would encourage you to read the book. My intent is to get it on Audible, and I'll listen to it when I get to that place in my book list. But I would encourage you to read the book. I would encourage you to engage in conversations. And as you do, before you do, after you do, you have these conversations, bathe it in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to work through you, that the fruits of His Spirit will flow out of you, and that perhaps He would use you to reach someone and bring them into a proper relationship and a proper understanding with Him. So that's really the encouragement. I was sitting there in the house and I'm thinking, maybe if I can just come out here and speak for just a few minutes, a little bit unconventional towards the normal podcast that I do, but Lord willing, I hope it's still an encouragement. And again, it's a little later than normal. So I'm going to be, like I said, raw with this. I'm not going to edit it other than put the intro and the outro, and that's it. So I appreciate you taking the time. I know this is a little longer than the average podcast length, but thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And I do pray that God not only works and uses you, but brings people into your life with this conversation going on, with Ginger being on Fox News and on CNN. And it's a conversation that we can have even with unbelievers who don't even know what that is. They don't even know enough about Jesus to know what legalism is. Odds are they've probably been exposed, if they've been in church at all, they've been exposed to the legalistic side. Or if they haven't, their mind has understood it as a legalistic side. Use this. May God give us grace and wisdom to see opportunity to use this as a means to evangelize, to preach his name to others. And may the Holy Spirit work through the gospel that's preached and regenerate hearts. It's late, which you may be listening to this in the morning, but at any rate, I will let you go. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you.